We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 13th chapter, titled Dhritarashtra Bhishma, text number 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ahastani Sahastana.
Ahastani Sahastana.
Apadani Chatuspada.
Apadani Chatuspada.
Palguni Tatra Mahata.
Palguni Tatra
Mahata. Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. Agastani. Those who are devoid of hands. Sahastana. Of those who are endowed with hands. Apadani. Those who are devoid of legs. Chaturpada. Of those who have four legs. Palguni. Those who are weak. Tatra. Dev. Mahatma. Of the powerful. Jiva. The living being. Jivasya. Of the living being. Jivana. Subsistence. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Those who are devoid of hands are praying for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are praying for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living entity is food for another. This is a very serious subject matter. Okay, we'll repeat the translation effectively. Those who are devoid of hands are pray for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are pray for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong. And the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. It's got a purpose over a page, so we have to listen attentively what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, and then we'll discuss on the points what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. Purport. A systematic law of subsistence in the struggle for existence is there by the Supreme Will, and there is no escape for anyone by any amount of planning. The living beings who have come to the material world against the will of the Supreme Being are under the control of a supreme power called Maya Shakti, the deputed agent of the Lord. And Devi Maya is meant to pinch the conditioned soul by threefold miseries, one of which is explained here in this verse. The weak are the subsistence of the strong. No one is strong enough to protect himself from the onslaught of a stronger, and by the will of the Lord, there are systematic categories of the weak, the stronger and the strongest. There is nothing to be lamented if a tiger eats a weaker animal, including a man, because that's the law of the Supreme Law. But Although the law states that a human being must subsist on another living being, there is the law of good sense also, for the human being is meant to obey the laws of the scripture. This is impossible for other animals. The human being is meant for self-realization, and for that purpose is not to eat anything which is not first offered to the law. The law accepts from his devotee all kinds of food preparation made of vegetables, fruits, leaves and grains. Fruits, leaves and milk in different varieties can be offered to the Lord, and after the Lord accepts the prasada, the devotee can partake of the prasada, by which all suffering in the struggle for existence will be gradually mitigated. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.26. So what's the verse which Krishna is talking about? Patram pushpam palam yome bhakta prayacchati. Even those who are accustomed to eat animals can offer foodstuff not to the Lord directly, but to an agent of the Lord under certain condition of religious rites. Injunction of the scriptures for men not to encourage the eaters of meat, not to encourage the eaters of animal, but to restrict them by regulated principles. The living being is a source of subsistence for other stronger living being. No one should be very anxious for his subsistence in any circumstances, because they are living beings anywhere, and no living being starves for want of food at any place. Maharaj Yudhishthira is advised by Narada not to worry about his uncle's suffering for want of food, for they could live on vegetables available in the jungle as prasada of the Supreme Lord, and thus realize the path of salvation. Exploitation of the weak living entity by the stronger is a natural law of existence. There is always an attempt to lever the weak if different kingdom of living beings. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under natural condition. It can be checked only by awakening the spiritual sense of the human being by practice of spiritual regulations. The spiritual regulative principles, however, do not allow a man to slaughter weaker animals on one side and teach others peaceful coexistence. If man does not allow the animals peaceful coexistence, how can he expect peaceful existence in human society? The blind leaders must therefore understand the Supreme Being and then try to implement the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God, or Rama Rajya, is impossible without the awakening of God consciousness in the mass mind of the people of the earth.
Om Agyana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahi Tadatiswa Kadantikam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gada Adara Shita Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So today, it's a very important topic, you know. And it's covering a lot of points in Srila Prabhupada is referring to about jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity is a food for another. It's a very, very serious matter. Right? If you belong to the animal species. See, animal species are always a fear that I'll be eaten. Right? Sometimes we say, Hare Krishna Prabhu, how are you? I'm not okay. Oh, I've got a lot of problems. What is our problems? The problems are simple. Look at the problems of the animals, you know. When they have to go outside to fetch water, they are killed. Gajendra. Attacked by a crocodile. The birds, when they come out, you know, to eat something, they'll be eaten by the bigger birds. Or they'll be eaten by a snake. See? Survival, you know. If we go out, imagine someone is eating us, how fearful we will be, you know. But on the contrary, we are taking prasadam. isn't it? So how fearful our life should be. Imagine if we have to go out and someone is waiting to eat us. This is a life of animals. Okay. So, in the last statement, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how can you get peaceful, right, society or kingdom if there is no God, right? If the God is eliminated. In other words, he is saying Ramarajya. How is Ramarajya possible without Lord Rama, you know? So, in that context, we see now that all the people here in this modern society, you know, except the devotees, they are modern Ravanas. Isn't it? One form or other. Why? Because they want to enjoy Sita without Rama. Isn't it? That's the tendency now. Isn't it? So they want Lakshmi without Narayan. They want money without Krishna. At any cost we want money. We don't care. Right? What is that attitude known as? That is Lakshmi. They want Lakshmi at any cost. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is pointing at. You know, only money. Of course money we need for our subsistence. But not at the cost of, you know, forgetting Krishna and then taking money. That's not worth it. But on the material plane, yeah, it has to be done like that. Because one has to exploit the other. That is what Prabhupada is saying. A stronger has to exploit the weaker. Right? See, even in a human beings also we see sometimes, you know, when we walk. See, even we see a lot of, you know, we hear a lot of news. That in the night, you know, someone is, you know, being a victim of a stronger person, right? If you go and walk on the streets, you know, someone may attack you over a stronger. Even in the daytime, if someone is stronger is coming, we have to be quite careful, you know, what he's going to do. This is our situation because that's the law of nature, Prabhupada is saying. When a stronger person comes, the victim, the weaker person is a victim of the stronger. That is what is happening. We have seen. In some way or other, we are all exploited. Some form. We cannot say no. Right? If we think, some form or other. So, the best shelter is Krishna. Where Krishna is not going to exploit us. And all the person who are under the lotus feet of the Lord, they are very happy. Isn't it? There is no problem of any anxiety. So, here, Srila Prabhupada in the verse, right? It is said that a person, an animal which does not have hands, right? Animals have got basically no hands, isn't it? All the animals don't have hands, right? So what it is said, scriptures is, it is a very, very analytical statement. The scripture says that, here, it says, those who don't have hands are eaten by those who have got hands, which means, the scripture is talking about uncivilized person or unreligious person who are eating meat. Because only human being has got hands. So human being, when they eat animals, they are considered as animals. That is what this verse is saying. Right? Those who do not have hands, they are the victim of the person who are having hands. Right? So there are type of human beings where they are eating animals and they are eating human beings also. That's the question of eating. The cannibal society in, you know, the earlier days, you know, maybe in origin from South Africa or whatever, maybe, you know. They used to eat human beings, you know, straight away. You are my dinner. You are my lunch, like that. Imagine how it will be, you know, eating. Come on, today I take your hand, tomorrow I take your leg, you know, try and chew. And then it is also said, those who do not have legs, they are the victim for those who have got legs. So, in the animal type, you know, those who have got legs, who are they? The animals like cows and goats. And those who do not have legs, right? Living beings, they are trees and plants. So the trees and the plants, they have got legs in one sense. And you can also say they got legs in one more sense. You can say that they don't have legs because they are fixed. Right? They are fixed, they cannot move. So what is the point if you have got leg and the doctor said you cannot move? It is as good as not having legs. Isn't it? So in the same way, the plants and the trees, they have got fixed, they will be fixed in a place, they cannot move. So it is almost classified that they don't have legs. Now, it is also said that these plants and trees, they eat through the legs. That is how they do it. you know. And these trees and plants, they are the food for the cows and goats, isn't it? A cow and a goat, they can come and eat the grass or the plant or anything, you know. But just a quick comparison to the supreme law, because everything emanates from the Lord. Krishna explains that. So when the plants can eat through the legs, Krishna can also do that, right? That is why Lord Brahma is saying in Brahma Samhita, which one is that?
Angani yasya sagale priya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti.
See, Krishna, he can perform any activities independent of any other senses. Right? For example, he can eat through the eyes, he can see through the ear, right? He can bless through the leg, whatever he can do, whatever he wants, because the Lord is the Supreme Lord, he can do anything. So that is why that quality, you know, has come from the Lord, you know, the tree quality, where Krishna can do anything, you know, with his leg he can eat also, you know, anything he can do. So I just thought, you know, that's quite appropriate in Brahma Samhita. So, it is said that the stronger is exploiting the weaker, right? Now, we might think, okay, it's a holiday today. We might go to the great ocean road and see the beauty of the ocean, right? No wonder we can see. But there also the beauty, what is going inside the ocean all the time? One fish is eating another fish, right? One animal is always being eaten by the other animal, right? And on the land and the sky also this is happening. So on the land and the sky, what is happening? Right? The bird which is flying, it will come and eat the insect on the land. Right? Then, again, it goes again back. Now, the bird on the land, cat, it will eat the bird. The animal on the land, which is cat, will eat an animal which is flying, which is bird. So cat likes birds. Right? And then bigger birds eat smaller birds, like that this goes on, you know. Even in the land, forest also this is happening. Because fox kills the rabbit, isn't it? Likes the rabbit. A leopard kills the fox. A man kills the leopard. And time kills the man. So it is a chakra, a cycle. No one can escape, you know, this is a competition going on. No one can escape it. This is a cycle. But why this is happening? This can happen only in the material plane. That is what, you know, this verse is talking about. In the spiritual platform, there is no exploitation. Because what happens is, we have to prove that we are servant of Krishna now. Okay? With our devotion service, you prove that if you are servant of Krishna, then what happens? Krishna will serve you when you go back there. He becomes your servant. Example is that Damodar Astaka we are singing. Right? See? Krishna is scared of his mother, Yashoda, rubbing his hands, crying, because her mother might hit me, you know. This is the position of the Lord. And we also know the story of the Lord served as a gatekeeper for Bali Maharaj. Right? Bali Maharaj, on the planet, the Lord, he surrendered to the Lord and he has to obey the orders of the Lord. But because he obeyed the orders of the Lord in turn became his doorkeeper in his place where Bali Maharaj went beneath. So this is how the Lord is reciprocating with his devotees, right? So the exploitation is not there. That's the point I'm trying to say there. Now this exploitation, why is it coming? Why is it surfacing up, popping up? Because of the selfishness. Because everyone, you know, in our activity, I want to be in the center. That is the root cause of material problem, material existence. Material existence means, it gives a separate existence. I am separate from Krishna. Yes, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Right? Separate existence. Because the Lord says that, it is my earth, water, fire, air, fire, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Those constitute the Lord's separated energy. So it gives a separate existence that I am different from Krishna. Hence, with that attitude, one tries to control and manipulate the material energy for which he gets reaction. So, on the material platform, the individual or the separate nature, that is the one which is causing the problem. That is why we have to go through all the struggle. But instead, if you put Krishna in the center, then there is no struggle. Whatsoever, no struggle at all. And also, not only that, you know, the land and everything, we also see in the case of humans, you know, there is conflict between nations. Isn't it? Some other nation is trying to kill some other nation. Right? Conflict in religions. Conflict among sporting activities. Conflict between families. Right? Conflict within our mind. Why to talk about other things? All the time, the mind, the conflict is there, right? Should we do or not? The mind will say, don't do devotion service. But the soul, you know, will anchor for devotion service. This conflict has happened. Why to go to others? So this is always going on a material plane, you know. That is why one has to control the mind by chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. There is no other way. Man means mind, tra means to deliver. So Hare Krishna mantra will deliver a person from all the material plane. Alright, so, and also we see in the human society how, even within the humans also there is exploitation, right? How we can say there is exploitation? Because the Europeans, Americans, they, you know, think that they are superior to the Eastern culture, isn't it? It's been happening, right? Why to speak about Western? India, when India was prone to weak forces, India was captured by the Mughals and the Britishers. Why to talk about so many things? Right? We all know. As Indians, you know, we have been ruled by the Muslims and the Britishers. So, everywhere the exploitation is happening. Right? We have been ruled by that. So, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you are an animal or a human. You are still exploited in the material plane. One is exploited. So, that's a point we have to understand. And then, if one is intelligent, they will know, yes, I want to stop this exploitation. I don't want someone else to exploit me like animal. See, animal cannot do devotion service. See, look at the precarious condition, okay? Animals, even though they got eyes, nose, legs, and all that, they cannot perform devotion. They cannot come to the, you know, Bhagavatam class and sit down. Even though they got ears, they cannot listen. But this human form, we should use that and then stop all the troubles. Easy. That is why the human form is given. And also, this is a Professor Wayne Mayer, right? He's a program leader for sustainable agriculture in CSIRO, scientific background. Now he says that, you know, with regard to the animal killing we are talking about, that it takes, you know, more water consumption, right, for the animals than to have a grain. In other words, what he's saying is, animal killing or farm, developing a farm community for animals for killing purpose is very, very dangerous. He's saying, why? Because after all, water is a very, very important resource, right? And through the water, we are wasting, right? So what he's trying to give, you know, he's giving a statistics. So what he's saying is, to grow 1 kg of wheat, okay, 1 kg of wheat, you need 715 liters of water, okay? And then to have 1 kg of rice to grow, you need 1,550 liters of water. Right? So sometimes, you know, in the Sunday feast we cook 40 kgs of rice. So 40 times 1,500 liter, whatever may be, that is the water we are using, you know, just to make the rice. But he also said that, it's estimated that it takes 16.4 kgs of grain to produce 1 kg of flesh of the lamb, and also 13.13 kg of grain to produce 1 kg of beef. So which means that 13 times 13, right, 13.3 times 1500 liters of water to get 1 kg of meat. Is it worth it? If it's worth it, I'm just saying, not at all worth it. Look at the water. So we might as well eat the grain and sustain. Why do you have to kill the animal also in a cruel way, for which we have to incur sin? Right? Okay. The Vedic name Mamsa means flesh. Okay. We say flesh. Right? Flesh means Mamsa. What is mamsa? Meaning, ma means me, sa means he. That means, I will kill in this birth this animal, and the next birth you can kill me. There is a trade-off. No one knows that, right? They see only I will kill this birth. Next birth is nothing. Ignorance, they don't know. So that is how the mamsa comes. Because Srila Prabhupada says elsewhere that even on the human platform also, if you kill someone, okay, say for example I go and kill someone, then also the punishment is life for life, right? Isn't it? Suppose you kill someone, what happens? Are you free? Come on, guys. No answer. Suppose you kill someone else, are you free? No. Right? You will be imprisoned. Imprisoned. Okay? And what is the punishment? Either you have to serve a lifelong term or you will be hanged. That is what it used to happen in India. Because a king has a power, he will immediately hang the person who has killed or murdered someone else. Why? Because life for life. So he is killed on this in this lifetime so that next time he may have a better life. So his punishment is taken care of. Life for life. If that is the case, Prabhupada says, if you in your eyes you can see this birth only life for life, why not you agree that? What a logical statement Prabhupada is saying, right? Then why can't you kill an animal and you're thinking that you're safer, you're free from karma? No, it is not like that. Life for life. You kill someone, it doesn't matter. Any life, you have to pay price for it. Life for life. That is how the material world is working. And then Srila Prabhupada, once in reply to one Father Emmanuel, okay, I don't know which place actually it was, I think it was in a European country, I think. Prabhupada was talking, you know, and this person was talking about meat, you know, that he was, the previous statement was that there is no soul in the animal, it's okay, you can eat meat, like that he was trying to say. Then at one point Prabhupada said, come on, I'm going to cut off. Then he was saying, Prabhupada said, religious human being, you know, Prabhupada has got his divine way of speaking, not ordinary way. Religious human being is not meant to kill animals and eat animals. If you stop killing animals and chant the holy name of Christ, everything will be perfect. Again, he repeats the same thing in a different way. Christians should chant the name of Christ, right? And should stop the slaughter of animals in line with the teaching of Bible, because Bible said, thou shalt not kill, right? So in line with the Bible, what you are saying, you are chanting the name of the Lord. And then you are stopping the slaughter or you are stopping the killing of animals. In which case, the whole world situation will change. Prabhupada says, okay, you need not want to come and chant Hare Krishna, fine. We agree that. Because after all, Bible is also religion. That is also teaching love of Godhead. You chant Krishna's name, but don't kill animal. Then situation will change. And also, we do not have a right to kill any animal. Also, right? Now, because it's concerning animal, I thought, you know, we'll pick up a lot of points about animals, right? Otherwise, in a Bhagavatam class, we won't be talking about animals most of the time, right? Isn't it? So I thought it's a good opportunity. If you miss this opportunity, then we will not talk. So I've collected a lot of points regarding animals and cow slaughter, etc., etc. You know, the whole dialogue, you know, what's happening also, you know, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, you know. We'll see. So that that helps us, you know, in some form of preaching also. It helps us, isn't it? Otherwise, Bhagavatam, we are not, we won't be talking about animals, you know. Okay. So actually, we don't have a right to kill any animals.
Why?
Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 14.4, what does he say? He says, Aham Bija Pradapita. I am the seed giving father of everyone. I am the father of everyone. Mother Nature is the mother. Okay? Because Krishna impregnates all the soul into the Mother Nature and we get the body, right? Because we are a combination of a body and soul. The soul is a person inside, the body is outer covering. But because of the Maya, we take that body is everything and soul is nothing. That which is not. So we are thinking, the body is not. It's made up of earth, water, fire and ether. But we think we are the body. That is Maya's illusion. To the extent one is Krishna conscious, one will be free from Maya. If someone is thinking I am the body, you need lot of Krishna consciousness. Right? So to the extent one is Krishna conscious, one is free from Maya. It is like a pulling effect, you know. So the moment you're more and more Krishna conscious, Maya will leave you, like that. Otherwise, you know, a person who is not Krishna conscious is completely bound by this Maya. It will not leave you. So as you practice Krishna conscious, see that the Maya grip will come down. And then you know, Maya is that, I am this. Because you realize you are the soul. Devotees can realize that. Of course, I have not realized yet. But we can realize that, you know, Maya grip will be loosened. That's what Prabhupada says, spell of material energy. Look at the word Srila Prabhupada is saying. Right? People are enjoying under the spell of Maya. Spell means what? Magic spell, you know. You don't know what you are doing. Spell. Illusion means you completely gripped under the tight grip clutches of Maya and you think you are the body, you do, yes, I am free, I can do anything. No. You are governed by the strict law of nature. Every action, there is a reaction. You exploit the material nature, you get a reaction. You have to suffer. But the moment you are free from Maya, you are liberated from material clutches, then that is liberation. Then you are free. As long as you act on the body, you are not free. You may think you are free, but there is a karma. But if you act on the soul level, you know, that you are the soul, that means no binding to the material energy, no exploitation of material energy, then that is liberation. Okay, that's a point. And then Narada Muni also chastised one king in Srimad Bhagavatam about animal killing. Who is that king? Very good, very good. I think you have got a very good knowledge about in that way exactly. That's very good, Prabhu. I have to look and, you know, go and on the spot, you know, you can tell that. Very good. Prachitya Parat was killing, but doing a lot over indulging in animal sacrifice. Prachitya Parat, such an elevated personality, you know. Who was he? He is the father of the Prachetas. Who's Prachetas? Prachetas saw Lord Vishnu. They went underneath the sea. They meditated on the Lord for 10,000 years, Prabhu. Right? 10,000 years they meditated on the Lord. Now, in the Kali Yuga, it's only 70 years. We could not chant 70 years. 10,000 years underneath the water, Prachetas, the son of Prachinya Parya, he did austerities and they saw Lord Vishnu. What Lord Vishnu said, I will also go into the sea to see them. Vishnu did not say, come up. He also went into the sea with Garuda to see the Prachetas. Such noble characters. Now, Prachinya Bharat was over indulging in sacrifice, animal sacrifice. Narada Muni came. He took compassion on him. He said, hang on, what are you doing? Do you know what you are doing? Then Prachinya Bharat said, fine, I am doing. But anyway, it is said in the Vedas that, you know, you can kill animal. In the scriptures it's read. But Narada Muni said, beware, I understand. Yes, in scriptures it says in one sense, why? Because if you kill, you know, based on the scriptural injunction, that animal will get promoted to a human being. Okay? Because it's an animal form, it cannot do devotion service. See, the whole point in scriptures is devotion service, right? That is the topmost. Nothing else. It's not talking about computer engineering or mechanical engineering, right? Only devotion service, scriptures talk. Everything else is out. Nothing else. So, the scriptures is saying, from the devotional angle, it says, yes, you are an animal, you cannot do devotion service to the Supreme Lord. Now, by killing an animal, through a system, there is a system, where the animal loses its body, it gets killed, and in the next, but the soul goes and takes another human form of life. And hence, with the human form of life, that animal who has got a human form, he can do devotion service and go back to Krishna. That's the whole point. Okay? But Prachinya Bharata was doing that. So Narada Muni warned him, of course I understand what you are doing, but remember, even if there is a slight discrepancy in the scriptures, and if you don't do the animal sacrifice properly, what happened? These animals will not be promoted to the human platform, and hence you have to incur sin. Because these animals, what happens? If they don't get a human body, they will wait in the sky to kill you. It's not a joke. Because why wait in the sky? Because we know when the gross body is there, we want land to live. When the gross body is not there, when the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego is there, right? Krishna explains. Mind, intelligence, false ego and the soul, will be hankering for a body, gross body. See, we have a gross body, so we can walk, we can eat, we can chant. But for a person who has misused a gross body, they died, some suicide or whatever may be, or killed, you know, by the providence, whatever may be. And if that mind intelligence false ego hang on with the soul, they don't have a gross body. So what happens? This is not the place for them. They can loiter here, but there is a higher platform. Ghosts and pisasas is there, you know. Without the gross body, they have got a planet to live. What to talk about? Krishna has made all arrangements to live. So these people are waiting there to kill. They take revenge because you will be going. When you die, you know, the soul has to go up or down, whatever it may be. So they'll take revenge. So Narada Muni is warning Prachaniya Bharya, be careful, don't do that, okay? Then he understood that and he reverted the process. So that is also, even Vedic sacrifice also, animal killing is condemned. Okay? And then, why, the other reason is, why we should not kill animal is, animal killing means, it is implicated as in 6 ways, animal killing. 6 ways we are implicated. What is that? The person who gives permission for killing. Then, a person who kills the animal. Then, the person who transports. We see sometimes, right, when we go in the car, we see the cows and the goats are put into a big truck and the truck is being transported, right? Animals are being transported. They will also get punishment. The scriptures is saying, it's not a joke here. When the scripture says he has to bear it, he has to do it. They will get a reaction. Then, the person who purchases the meat, Safeway quotes, they are purchasing, right? They can say, we are not killing, we are purchasing, we are doing business transaction. No, you will get a sin transaction also. Alright. Then, a person who cooks it, restaurants. See how systematic. And then, a person finally who eats it. You cannot say, I have not touched it, I have not cooked it, I am going to the restaurant, I work very hard, I will give $5 and take a meat. Yes, you suffer. That's how it is. So, meat eating, see how sinful it is. And how Srila Prabhupada has clearly told us, right? No other way other than Srila Prabhupada's explanation is so clear. And it's very, very clear, right? And we don't want to do that. Very, very clear with all this information. Okay, now finally to stop this, I thought I'll pull down a dialogue between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chandkasi. Right? This is about cow killing. Okay, this is a very good topic, right? Because what we are seeing is, we are seeing a Muslim person versus Supreme Lord dialogue about cow killing. So it will be a good thing, okay? Now this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 17, 152 to 159 verse. Okay? Now what happens is, when we ask someone, you know, that, oh, don't eat meat and all that, then that person could be a Muslim. He'll say, I'm not a Hindu, I'm a Muslim. I have a permission to kill. Right? Our scriptures say that it's fine and all that, they will talk all nonsense. Now, let us see, you know, the dialogue between a Muslim and a Hindu, in other sense, you know, Hindu God. So, here the scenario is that Muslim cow killing has been challenged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised a question of this cow killing to Chandkasi, right? Now, he was doing cow killing, not killing, he was encouraging in one sense, you know, because he was a Muslim, cow killing and bull killing, okay? Now, the cow and the bull are very, very important. Why? Before we go ahead, because cow represents Mother Earth, bull represents Dharma, religiosity. There is always a connection between cow and bull, like husband and wife. Okay? Sometimes, you know, if they hit the husband, the wife gets a pain. They were connected so much. Right? Now, likewise, what happens? If you do some atrocities on the Mother Earth, it will affect religiosity. Religiosity, if you don't follow, it will affect Mother Earth. Like if you don't eat meat, sorry, you are supposed to prohibit meat. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. These are the religious principles. If you do all that, then your earth will be troubled by famine, tsunami, drought, right? And unfavorable weather conditions. If you follow this, then bull and cow relationship. So if you follow these four regulative principles, which is divine grace Srila Prabhupada has given us, then the earth will be safe. There is a scientific relationship existing. It is not just like, you know, we are imagining like that. No, everything has got a meaning in devotional service, right? So in that sense, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to Chandkasi about cow slaughter, right? Bull killing and all that. Now, Kasi replied, he said, Mahaprabhu, you know how you have got Vedas and Puranas? In the same way, we have also got a holy scripture that is known as Quran. So, I would like to talk something about Quran. Then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, according to the scriptures, right, if you bring in scriptures and quote relevant point, that is authorized. There is no question. But only when you whimsically talk something, you know, without any reference, then it is not accepted. Everything from scriptures, including, which is basically Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitam, this is scriptures. When the Lord speaks, or if it's about the Lord, that is scripture, that is approved. But you come out on your own, you know, this is by that fellow made a research and all, that is not accepted. Okay. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, fine, I agree. Your scripture is as powerful as ours. Because after all, scriptures are God made. You know, it is not meant by the, it is meant for the human, but it is meant by, it is prepared by higher authorities. So it is approved. So, Kasi continued. Now, according to Quran, he said, there are two ways of living. One is the propensity to enjoy, and the other one is decrease the propensity and live a very, what you call as a path of detachment. Okay, so he said a path of attachment and a path of detachment. Same thing we have got in Veda. In Veda we have got two paths, right? This is Nivritti Marg and Pravritti Marg. Pravritti Marg means to enjoy the world and suffer. They don't care about suffering. But the moment you enjoy, there will be suffering. So enjoy, suffer. Enjoy, tyaga, boga, tyaga, boga. This is what it is. Boga means enjoyment, tyaga means suffering, and you cannot enjoy at the time when you suffer, right? So this is what is going on. And the other one is Nivritti Marg. Nivritti means detachment. Path of detachment, you know, I don't want enjoyment. I've got a superior line. I've got a superior way. That is there. So he says that is also acceptable. Quran also is there. In Vedas also it's there. Okay. Then he said, on the path of material activities, when you enjoy, there is a provision there. He used that word, okay. There is a provision, regulation for killing cows. Okay. He used that word cows. Okay. Then he said, if such a killing is done under the guidance of scripture, then there is no vain. It is allowed, he said. If one acts according to the injunction of the Shastra, then one is freed from sin, he said there. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept quiet. Then again he said, Kasi said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, in your Vedic scripture, there is an injunction which says that even cow killing is allowed. That's all he uttered, okay? First, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, yes, I'm going to fix this guy. But he added further to say that in your scriptures also, on the strength of the injunction, on the strength of the holy name, on the strength of the scriptures, cow killing is allowed. That's it. Immediately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got angry actually. He refuted the statement by saying, no, what you are saying is completely faulty. It is not allowed. Why? Because he said cow killing is not at all allowed in Indian or in Vedas. Not at all allowed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the proof. He said, in Vedic scriptures, there are concessions for meat eaters. Okay, this is the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, he said, in scriptures, there are provisions or concessions for meat eaters. How that is done, also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. Okay, the Lord is saying, you have to take only a smaller animal like goat. You have to go in front of the goddess Kali, because she is a controller of this material world. Okay, material world, she is in charge. Now you have to go and you have to pray. There is a mantra you have to say, like in that, you know, you have to utter the word Mamsa. So that means you kill, I am killing this goat in this birth, and the next birth I become a goat and I can be killed by this person, because the goat, once it's killed, in a Vedic injunction, he will be promoted to the higher level, which is human. And this fellow, because he killed the animal, he will become a goat. So they can change their portfolios, okay, and do it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, that is not allowed. So meat eaters, they can go to Kali and kill, and only they should take that flesh of that meat which has been killed, or the goat which has been killed. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mark his words, meat eaters are not allowed to purchase meat or flesh from the market or slaughterhouses. Then he says, there are no sanction in Vedas for maintaining regular slaughterhouses to satisfy the tongue of meat eaters. What a statement this is, huh? What a statement. He's saying, there are no sanctions in Vedas for maintaining regular slaughterhouses for satisfaction of the tongue. There's no way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. The only one allowance, concession, that is allowed to the meat eaters is smaller animal in front of Goddess Kali, do the prayers, kill and eat only that flesh. You cannot buy from the supermarket. No injunction. Vedas does not say that. Okay, and then, not only that, he was again tough. He said, as far as cow killing is concerned, it is completely forbidden. Forbidden. There is no question of talking at all. It is not there. Finished. End of the chapter. Right? Forbidden because since a mother, cow is considered as a mother, how can you kill a mother? Right? And he says, there is a proof in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is explaining why you should not kill cow. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, there is a clear injunction that cow should be protected, not killed. It should be protected. So, he says, Krishi Gorakshya Vanjam Vaishya Karma Swabhavacham. Right? This is in 18.44, where Krishna is explaining the role of a Vaishya. So, Vaishya, what he has to do? He has to produce agricultural products. He has to do the trading based on that product. And then he has to protect the cows. This is the job of a Vaishya. And Krishna himself did that, isn't it? He was taking care of the cows. Because when he was in the Vaishya, Krishna did not say, I am the Supreme Lord. I have followed me. No, he followed the injunction. He followed the swabhava, the natural propensity of a Vaishya. Right? He did that. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concludes, it is a false statement that Vedic scripture contains injunction permitting cow killing. It is not there. Cow killing is forbidden. There is no question of killing at all. And cow killing, only protection. Cow protection is mentioned. Then Jankasi said, okay Lord. That's because, after all, Jankasi is also a scholar. Right? And if he is able to talk to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is not ordinary soul, right? So it is Lord's Leela there. Even we can handle Muslims also in this case. Okay, I'll stop this here. Thank you very much. Any quick questions, comments, corrections? Okay, what happened? If you kill an animal as per the Vedic injunction, then the moment the body, gross body is dead, the soul gets a new body, human body. But if there is a slight discrepancy, you don't tell the mantra properly. Right? If there is a discrepancy in the chanting, right? Then what happens? The animal will not get the proper destination. It will not work properly. And hence, the process is not alright. So, the animal may be killed, but the process is not okay. While killing, the process adopted was not okay. And hence, the destination may not be a correct one. So, it may be killed, but the elevation to human platform may not be necessarily there. So, what happens? It will be waiting there to kill you, because it will take revenge.
So, is waiting in the sky, so is that animal going to kill us? They can't do anything to the soul. It's only going to kill us.
Because what happens is, the moment it's one person is dead, okay, he may be given a particular form to travel. A subtle body is given. Because after all, if you go to the hellish planet, you have to also suffer, right? You should have a form of a body to suffer. Right? So in the sun planet, there is a form. Everywhere there is heat. So Prabhupada says there is a fiery body given. In the moon, it is cooling, so there is a kind of a body given. In the water, fish is there, it is given a body separate to us. If you dig some mud from the earth, there is a worm coming, it is given a particular body. So, for enjoyment or suffering, the whole concept of material world works like this, okay? For enjoyment or suffering, there is a particular body given. This is the concept of material world. I have done, I don't know what in my last birth, I have given this body. I can enjoy or I can suffer, you know, based on my karma. So everyone, body is given. So some people, you see, they don't have a hand and all that. That's previous karma. Nothing is an accident here, right? And someone is given a very nice body and that is for enjoyment. Someone is given no hands, no leg for suffering, right? So the concept is, material world, you enjoy or you suffer. And how intelligent are you to take a Krishna conscious? That is your sadhana. Because that's the highest. After all, enjoying you get much more enjoyment, you know, when you come to Krishna conscious, right? You get the best food, best devotees, best association, best place, best of everything. Because Krishna is a Lord, you get, you know, being a servant of Krishna, you get the best. Where will you get this kind of treatment, you know? Isn't it? So like a palace here, you know. So we are with the king, so we enjoy the palace. If you go outside, you know, then you have to be like an animal only. Is it okay, Prabhu? So that will be given, a proper body will be given, you know. But how they attack, I don't know, because the Veda says we have to believe that, you know. So there will be, Narada Muni say, don't you think that those animals will take revenge on you? So he got scared, you know. Sometimes Narada Muni uses a hard preaching and soft preaching. So this is a hard preaching, he said, because he cannot tolerate the animal killing. Right? He was just doing, you know, just to get some, I don't know what for, it is not mentioned clearly, but he was doing animal sacrifices to get some benefit or something, which is not correct. Maybe he misunderstood. So Narada Muni is cautioning him and correcting him.
We have one question that as you said, stronger.
The food for the weaker too. That's what Bhagavatam says. The stronger is the weaker is a food for the stronger. Bhagavatam is saying. Yeah, both the statements are correct, yeah.
Okay, but as you said, you know, the stronger is exploiting the weaker.
Yes.
You know, what I was thinking of, is Krishna exploiting us because we are the weaker ones and he's asking us to surrender to him? And how do you understand that?
It's a very good question, but very severe question also. The question is, you know how I mentioned that the stronger always, you know, attacks the weaker, or the weaker is a victim of the stronger. He says, because Krishna is strong, are we victim of Krishna? Is Krishna exploiting us in one sense, right?
Yeah.
Because he's saying, chant my name,
yeah,
chant my glories, eat my prasadam,
yeah, like
always think of me.
Asking us to, you know, accept that
I am the Lord.
Yeah,
okay. Very good question. Now, you have parents, do you? You have parents?
Yeah.
In here or in India?
In
India. Okay. Where do you come from?
Pakistan.
Pakistan, okay. So are you Indian or Muslim?
I'm Hindu.
Hindu, okay. Now, I just wanted to get the background so right. Now, do you love your parents? Your father and mother, do you love them?
Yeah.
Now, in the past, any time, did your parents like tell you something forcefully, or all the time they've been telling, okay, don't do that? Did they any time tell you little bit stricter, hey, don't do that, I'll hit you? Or sometimes your father would have hit you also. Has it been done?
Yeah.
Done or not?
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
Because they also love me.
I love this person. It doesn't mean that I'm slapping him. I love Bhaktasar. If I slap him, that's it, Krishna will like this. No. But what is the reason? It's a sort of correction, right? Correct? No, tell me, yes or no?
Yeah.
Because you ask a question, because it's a heavy question. Because unless I have an input from you, I cannot answer one day, you know. isn't it? So out of love, what your parents do is you're correcting them, correcting you, isn't it? Correct? If your parents have not corrected you, what would have happened? For example, you might have gone once and saw one girl or something, or you've gone to a bad movie or something. The moment your parent knows, what does he do? He would have advised you, no? Hey, don't do that. Like a friend you liked. Sometimes he'll tell you, like, don't go there, don't smoke, don't take beer, don't go and move with this kind of bad ladies. Did the parent told you like that or no?
Yeah.
Or your uncle or someone who's superior to you, they told you?
Yeah.
That culture is there, right? What does it mean? Ultimately, what does it lead to? They're saying, see, we want you to be good, okay? Please don't do all this. Don't smoke. Don't go and take drugs. You know? Don't go with bad ladies, whatever it may be. You know? Like things like that. Now, what does it indicate? That indicates that if you, as Vedas say, there are only two parts, okay? Path of enjoyment or path of detachment. If you enjoy, you have to suffer. And the enjoy, there's no limit also. If you enjoy, you'll be degraded to the animal life. Because that is how the scriptures are. So they want you to be good, isn't it? Happy. So what they do, they correct you, sometimes in a mild way, sometimes in a hard way, right? Okay. Now, what happens? Forget about Krishna, okay? Now what happens if Krishna is out of the picture now? What happens if Krishna is not there? What I'll be doing? I'll be going to the Safeway and buying meat. I'll be eating, right? Okay? Then I'll be taking some liquor. Because I've got money, I'll drink. Then, I will go to movies. Fact. What will I do? Boring. I'm not chanting. I'll see some movies, Bollywood movies. Then, I will go to the casino, gambling. I'll put $1 and I'll get $100. Right? Why should I work hard? Prabhu is working very hard. He's a chef, he has to work. I don't want to work hard. I'll put $1, I'll get $1 million. This is my mentality, right? Kali Yuga mentality. But what will happen if I eat meat, if I gamble? Because four principles are very, very important. As I said, the regulative principles are related to the earth. Okay? Now, meat eating. Meat eating means our mercy will be destroyed. Your mercy nature to others will be destroyed if you eat meat. If you smoke and if you drink alcohol, etc., your austerity will be spoiled. You won't be austere. You don't have the mind to follow austerity. If you have illicit sex, relationship, bad relationship with ladies, cleanliness, mind will not be clean. Always you are thinking of lusty feelings. Anyone who sees, oh, this lady for my enjoyment, is she going to give me pleasure? See? Lusty thoughts. And for gambling means honesty is gone. I won't be truthful. I will tell something here, I'll go and do something there. So these four regulative principles follow from these four. Okay? Now, how do you stop that? We don't have a power ourselves. We don't have a power to. Because material energy is like an ocean, you know? See, we are like a tiny, insignificant soul. You are like that, okay? It is like a material energy is an ocean, it will cover you. Three modes of material nature. You have to read chapter 14. Lord explains three modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, ignorance. If you are in mode of goodness, it is relatively easy to come to Krishna. If you have passion and ignorance, you cannot come to Krishna. Right? So, Krishna conscious means above the three modes. Lord is giving a process where by simply chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. You have to do that. And then slowly take prasadam, hear about Krishna. What happens is, without endeavor, someone is taking you by flight to India. This is the situation Krishna is giving. Someone is saying, I am going to India. You want to come with me? You won't be foolish to say no. I will go. So by chanting Krishna's name, you are fixed up in the three modes, above the three modes. Now what happens when the tsunami comes, sea, material ocean comes, you are free. Now do you want to go to that kind of situation or suffer with the sins? Which one do you prefer? For that the only shelter is Krishna. Because there are a lot that's called multi-energies. Out of that, three are very prominent. The Lord's spiritual energy, the Lord's material energy, and the Lord's marginal energy. Out of that, the Lord's spiritual energy is very superior. The material energy is Lord's inferior energy. The Lord does not like it. It's like a stool, material energy. Lord's spiritual energy. And living entities, we are also Lord's superior energy. But because of our covering with Maya, we fall into the inferior capacity. Right? We are spirit soul. But because we are covered by Maya, has put us into a ditch. And we have forgotten our identity. We are thinking we are the body. In fact, we are not. Because of our association with matter from time immemorial, Srila Prabhupada explains. How do you clear that drainage system? How do you come out of the drainage? Material ocean is dukkhalayam. Prison, we are all prisoners. Maya, you know how it works? It will give you a piece of bone. You chew the bone, you are happy. It will never allow you to come. People in material world will be foolish, unintelligent, selfish, lust, anger, greed, envy, attachment, illusion. All material energy is dying. It's like a ditch, okay? This is what I cannot explain more than that. Spiritual is a rose garden. Lord superior energy, inferior energy. So we can go to Krishna's side or material side. But if you go to the material side, we will rot. If you go to Krishna's side, we will be having freedom. Right? So that is why the very easy thing, or you don't pray to Krishna, you become a yogi, you try to close your eyes like this, half closed, eyes on the center of your tip of your eyebrows, and then chant, don't chant, meditate on your Paramatma. I don't think you'll be able to do that. Chanting means easy process. Mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Mahamantra means greatest mantra which is able to liberate your mind. The mind will be, see, so far, you know, the mind will be like that. You know, I want to see the movie, I want to see that, I want to eat, I want to go to the restaurant, I want to see movies, I want to talk to that, I want to enjoy. Mind is like a wild animal. Right? You will not, it will not believe, it will not listen to your mind. If you say chant, it will say, no, why chant? Go to the movie. The wild animal, how do you tame a wild animal? We're putting into the cage. How do you put the animal in the cage? By chanting. So after chanting, the mind slowly comes like this. From a lion, it becomes a cat. But still, when you put a lion into a cage, you will be always cautious. So advanced devotees, they never trust the mind. Any time the mind can, one dirty thought is enough, it will go out. So always you should be observing the mind. If it goes outside, bring the mind and keep it. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, intelligent as a driver, the mind as a rein, the horses as a senses, the passenger as a soul. You take the soul from material world to spiritual world and enjoy. The mind has to be controlled. Because the mind is like a small child, pampered, unruly. It wants whatever it wants. I want to go to the movie today. I want to eat in a restaurant, see? Unruly, like an adamant child, you know. So it has to be controlled and controlled. That is why the process is very easy. Vaishnava philosophy means Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Devotional service means engaging all your senses in the service of the master of senses, Krishna. Very easy, Vaishnava philosophy. Other philosophy means you have to close your eyes like this. Ears like this, go mouth, don't eat on Ekadashi, nice prasadam will be there, don't eat, no sense gratification. No. Vaishnava philosophy, all the senses in the service of the Lord, say mind is controlled. I am not doing anything. My mind, I think to some degree is controlled. I am not doing anything. I am chanting Lord's name, I am eating Krishna's prasadam, I am dependent on the Lord, I am reading scriptures, I am trying to do some service with the Lord, I am associating with the devotees, my mind is controlled. Is it not a magic? We cannot do on our own. Simple process. You can go for work. If you chant 16 rounds, it is like a charged battery. You can take anywhere, nothing will happen. But if you don't chant 16 rounds, the battery will fail. You know? Alright? Clear? So you will chant? How many rounds are you doing? Because eight rounds you go, it's good. The moment you go to dance state, Maya will set up. And you go innocently, you are, we are all innocent. When you go, it will give you some sense gratification and then slap you on your face. You go like this, and again you come to Krishna's feet. Next day again Maya. We will not learn. Maya means prisoner, you know. We are all prisoners like that. And slap. What do you do in the prison, you know? Do they give you jalebi and all that? They slap you only. It's a prison house. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. We are all prisoners. We should imagine all of us with a bound by a chain, and we are Maya. The moment you become Krishna conscious, you are free. Otherwise, you are chained. Maya. Illusion, that which is not. You are thinking you are the body. It's not. You are the soul. That is illusion. You are under the spell of, like a magic. I'm the body, I've got my family, I'll do that. Magic, magic, magic. The Krishna consciousness, you wake up. I'm a soul. Got nothing to do with the body. That gives only by chanting. Because, after all, Krishna and Krishna's name, not different. So you chant 16 rounds, Srila Prabhupada always says, chant and be happy. In many initiations, Srila Prabhupada always said, after he gives a chanting bead, right? He says, chant and be happy. He takes you to the transcendental platform. Just by chanting. The highest occupation of a human being is to worship the Supreme Lord. Scriptures is saying. So when the highest occupation is there, what you are doing is not occupation. So the highest occupation is Savai Pumso Parodha. The highest occupation is worshipping Lord Hari. Highest. There's no other service greater. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is telling his classmates. What is the occupation you do?
I'm studying and doing part-time work.
Study material also, study spiritual also. Then you become a genius. You get the best of two worlds. Hare Krishna. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaurav.